Let's just start out with a praise and a thank you to the Lord. And we're thanking the Lord for who He is and what He's doing. Amen? So, Lord, we thank You and we honor You. And we celebrate the Lord Jesus. We honor the Lord. And He's worthy of being honored. And so this series that we're doing right now is actually season two. The first season had to do with the battle is in the mind. And we're to have the right mindset for the kingdom of God, for this life. That we're in a battle. And we need to know that we're in a battle. But Jesus has paid the price for us to experience victory in this battle. We operate off His victory. And not on off of our own efforts. Is anyone glad of that? We don't operate off of our own weapons. We don't operate off our own skills. And, you know, what's impossible with man, God loves to manifest and victory in the what man calls impossible. And I'm just so excited about him. I just want to remind us of a few things because we're in season two now. And season two has to do with the power of our words. The Bible speaks about the power of our words. And Jesus taught that we actually release authority with our words. And with our words are life and death. They come out of the same tongue. There's a lot of power when we say what God says about something. Okay, and we agree with God, and we say what God says. And there's a whole lot of power when we act out with our actions what God's saying. I'm telling you, it releases the power of the kingdom around us. And we're to advance the kingdom. We're not victims. I know sometimes churches view ourselves as victims. No, we're victors. And it makes a whole lot of difference, your approach. Very important how you approach the Lord, you know, and because we humble ourselves before God and man. But it's very, very important the way we approach situations and problems. Jesus has paid the price. I want to tell you, the cross is so important. And we point to the cross because He said it's finished works. And finished works, the cross was great victory, was not defeat. And His great victory is for us to live out. And you know, it's a learning process. And you're looking at someone who doesn't have it all figured out. But I want to tell you, I've left the line of scrimmage, and boy, this is great. And I'm just telling everybody, let's learn together. Let's go on. And let's walk in victory that He's paid for. I trying to say it like this, that everything that Jesus provided and won for us on the cross is everything that grace has provided. Because we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but He paid for it. And He deserves what He paid for. And so everything that grace has provided, our faith can say yes to. Now, I want to tell you what's kind of exciting. We don't even know what all that is. We're learners. There's some things that's very obvious. There's things that we learn by doing and learn by growing and by being in the Word because He reprograms our mind when we're in the Word. He renews our mind. And but we can say, and I want to, I know there's mystery. There's entire books written about faith, but I want to say that the simple definition of faith. It may be too simple for some of you watching or listening, but it's our inside yes to what God says or what God's done. It's our inside yes response. Now, boy, that's not deep, is it? But I want to tell you it's powerful. For us to say yes to what He's done, we can receive what He paid for. And the Lord, He's a revealer. He wants to reveal to us all that He paid for. And it's not... I kind of like to say it like this. It's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. And I don't like the Easter egg stuff. You know, that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus rising from the dead. But just to give you a little example, because it's a part of our culture, when you hide Easter eggs for your little ones, you're not hiding it from them. You're hiding it for them. Because you want them to find it. It's the joy of finding. And you're teaching them, you seek, you're going to find. And I want to tell you something. The Lord is not hiding these spiritual truths, jewels, treasures from us. He's hiding them for us. There's a big difference in that. And He loves to reveal all that He is. And He's given us Holy Spirit to help us apply that to our journey. But, you know, He wants us to seek. He wants us to ask. He wants us to knock. You see, it's a position of the heart. Are you with me? Do you see that? Y'all say amen so I can go faster. Okay. And what this ends up being for us is that, and this is part of the authority series. I don't have time to go back and preach it. So you just say amen or go back and listen to it. Just say amen today so I can move on. But it goes like this. See, that's what I'm talking about. But it goes like this. He's given us the authority and power. He's given us grace to receive what He paid for. And He's given us authority and power because Father gave it all to Him. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to Him. And He rose again from the dead. And that is like our receipt for the victory He's done. That's our badge of authority. That's our receipt that it's paid for. And we're to operate on it. He says, now therefore, you know, He's given me all authority, heaven and earth. Now therefore, you go. And He hasn't left us without power and authority. We're union with Him. We're a part of Him. And we're to go out. And this is part of our, well, I like to say it like this. This is why we're still left on earth. Otherwise, whenever you'd receive Christ, you'd go right to heaven. But you're left on earth because this is part of our reigning training right here. And so we get to learn. We get to operate in this. And it's a learning process. And we get to enforce the kingdom of God against the power of darkness. And we're winners. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, we've covered this, that He always leads us into triumph. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's not my experience. Well, the Word is right and our experience is wrong. It's got to come down to that. God's true and man's a liar when it comes down to it. And His Word is true. And it's our joy to learn how to adjust, repent, align, aright, and learn to operate in what He's paid for. When you see the promises in the Word of God, and when you recognize what all Jesus has paid for, even though we don't know it all, we're still learning, and what He's said, we can't lose for winning. That's Jesus. That's our Jesus. He's our champion. Okay? Let's look at a few scriptures, and I'm going to get into some new stuff for us, okay? And I'm closing up this series. I got about just another sermon or two in this. And y'all are laughing, see? Okay, there's a lot of faith in the house. John 5:24. This is out of the Amplified. It's a little wordy, but I love the way it brings out the shadow, the meanings of some of the wording. Very powerful. I love this. I assure you, this is Jesus speaking. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you. Now, when he's given that kind of emphasis, hey, it's double right on. Everything he said was right, but this is special emphasis he's given. I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words, who listens to my message and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on Him who has sent me, possesses right now, everlasting life, eternal life. Now, you can't read that first part of verse 24 and not see relationship. And that's very, very important. It's about relationship with Him. It's not religion. You can have religion and not have relationship. But I want to tell you what we're talking about is a relationship with Jesus, a communication, a hearing, a believing, a trusting in, a clinging to, a relying on. And when you have that, I'm going to say it like this. This is in ball terms, but it's all in. When you have an all-in relationship with Him, and I want to tell you that's what He wants, and that's what the Bible's designed to operate off of, a heart that's all in. But when you have this relationship with Him, understand this is what He says. You have right now, you possess in you everlasting life. It's His life in you. You don't wait till you get to heaven to experience everlasting life. It's now, it's done, it's past tense. You already got Him. Okay? And look what it says, and he does not come into judgment. This is speaking of the person who has given their life to Christ, who has relationship with him. I am telling you, this is what he says. He does not come into judgment, does not incur sentence of judgment, will not come under condemnation, but he has already passed over out of death into life. And so the way I want to say this to you to encourage you is that the enemy will come with his lies and minister condemnation, and he will lie to you about God and say, God's mad at you. This is why things have happened. This is why things are going wrong, and God's going to get you, and God's mad at you, and he will pour condemnation on us, and sometimes we help him out a whole lot. Okay? But this is what Jesus is saying. You possess me. Relationship with me, everlasting life. This is what Jesus is saying, that you are not facing judgment. There is no condemnation in your future from me. You know what he's saying? All that's in your past. It's behind you. It's behind you. Now I want to tell you, that's very, very important. You know, it's a simple picture. But I'm saying to you that a lot of things, some of the main things that hinder us from walking in the victory that Jesus paid for is that we're believing the lie of condemnation and judgment. And I'm telling you, you say, well, my report card was messed up last week. Okay, let me tell you something. His report card's better than yours, and we're operating off his report card, not yours. That ought to give somebody some joy. I'm saying to you that all wrath of God has been paid for completely by Jesus. It's a finished work. It's done. The wrath is paid for. There's no judgment in your future. There's no condemnation in your future. That's why that it says that if you're suffering, there's no there now. Therefore, no condemnation to those who are believing. And so, if you're loaded up with condemnation this morning, that sense of overwhelming failure that I'm just a failure, I want to tell you it's a lie. It's wrong, it's a lie. You say, well, you know, you're getting on to me. No, I'm trying to help you. But I am telling you this. I understand how we get there, but we don't have to stay there. We can identify and believe the cross. We can say and agree with what Jesus said right here versus what our flesh or our emotions or what the world or what the enemy's saying. This is the way to victory. And so if all wrath and condemnation are behind you, let me tell you what you face. You're facing the favor of everlasting life. The favor of forgiveness is in your future. It's so much of the loving kindness of God. That's what the favor of God is. The expressed loving kindness of God is all in your future. It's so bright. Your future in Jesus is so bright that you'd have to have sunglasses to glance that direction. It's bright because he's light. And he, picture in Scripture, gives us handfuls on purpose in our journey of blessing and loving kindness. And that's what we're to look forward to. I want to tell you, there's a lot of fear about death out there in the world. Christians don't focus on death. The Bible doesn't say we focus on death. We don't look to death. As a matter of fact, the sting of death has already been paid for, been taken away. You know what we're to focus on? We're to focus on his return. There's a big difference there. There's some joy focusing in on his return. Okay, I've got, y'all listen a little faster. Okay, I'm running behind already. Psalm 16:11 says this. You will show me, speaking, God will show me the path of life. I want to tell you, see, you probably can't, if you look too much in the future, you're going to get overwhelmed. But I want to tell you, he will show you the path of life. And sometimes it's one step at a time. But he will show you. This is his part. Do you have relationship? Because if you have relationship, you can hear him. And he will confirm to you. It's not by an emotion. He'll confirm to you through the word, through your relationship with him. He'll confirm your path because he has a good path for you. A desire to bless you, not curse you. And that's God's heart for you. And look what he says this. He says, so, and let me just remind you that he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. That's good news. because people leave us sometimes. He says, I'll never, ever leave you nor forsake you, and I'll show you the next step. Your steps will be ordered by him if you're walking with him. And this is what he says. In your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. There's a lot of, I'm busier than I've ever been through this season. I know there's pastors that are actually taking sabbatical, okay? That's between them and the Lord. I'm not throwing any stones at me, but I'm saying I'm busier than ever. And a lot of it's because there's a lot of Christians affected by this pandemic that are sad, that are disappointed, that are lonely, that are mad. And I want to tell you something. Bible says that when we're enjoying his presence, not only do we have direction of the next step, but we have fullness of his joy in us. That's what Jesus says. And so I'm not getting on to you today if you don't have joy. I'm saying today you can. You don't have to park there. That doesn't have to be the last word. Jesus has the first and final word, and here it is. And he says, at your right hand. Now, if it's at your right hand, it means it's close by for you to touch him. Right hand. And I want to tell you, in the right hand, at his right hand, right by his side. And let me give you a picture that's going to come out a little bit later. You know, he's the picture of Jesus. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we're seated with him in a heavenly place. It means you're sitting right by him. And I want to tell you, at his right hand next to you, I'm telling you, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, you know what pleasures forevermore? Hey, I'm telling you, it's loving kindness. I'm telling you, there's a lot of joy and a lot of blessing and a lot of celebration in the journey of a believer that's enjoying the presence of the Lord no matter what the outside circumstances are. And so, is there hope? Yes, it's him. Is there relief? Yes, it's Jesus. How do you spell rescue? J-E-S-U-S. But I'm telling you, there's more to him than religion. There's a relationship. How about Psalm 84, 10 through 12? For a day in your courts. Now, this is talking about entering the place of worship. That's a reference to the courts, entering in. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Now, 1,000 days is like 3 years, right? So one day in the house enjoying Jesus with the saints doesn't mean that you have some kind of special place of honor. No, he's the honor. It says, I would rather be a doorkeeper and stand at the threshold in the house of my God than to dwell at ease in the tents of the wicked. Now, I want to tell you, the wicked have some pretty fancy tents. And they got a lot of toys in their tent. A lot of things that attract humans in their tents. But what he's saying is that one day in the house, enjoying the presence of the Lord, the manifested presence of the Lord with the saints, me being just a doorkeeper, is better than 3 years in the tents of the wicked with all the world has to offer. Well, if we believed that, we'd be bringing out more chairs. But I want to tell you, this is what I want to ask. Because if we were to interview here, it would be obvious. So would you just look at this? For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Now, there's no growth without the S-U-N out there. But there's no growth with us without the S-O-N. We need to enjoy being in the presence of the S-O-N. And I want to tell you what he is, because there's a lot of fear out there about, you know, the disease and pandemic. But I want to tell you, he's our shield. Now, people are wearing shields, and that's okay. You're wearing masks. That's okay. I tell people, if you want to come in a hazmat suit, just come. There's nothing. We're okay with all that. But I'm telling you, when you're trusting the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord, and you're enjoying the S-O-N, in the presence of the S-O-N, I want to tell you, you recognize that he's your shield. And he's a divine shield, an invisible shield of protection all about you. You trust more in him than you would whatever the medical science is going to come up with. And so the Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. Do you see that the Lord has future in store for you, and it's good? Not only that, look at what he said. No good thing, no good thing, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk with him. That's powerful. So we have a lot to look forward to. There's a lot of unknown in your future, but we know him. And this is his heart, and he wants to reveal his heart, and he wants to express his heart into our life. He meets all our needs. I guess the question is Jesus more than enough for you? Is Jesus more than enough? Because I want to tell you what this COVID has revealed. What I see is that there are a lot of Christians who are saying that Jesus is not enough. Well, is that a little strong? I'm just trying to help you out. Okay? Is he more than enough? Does he meet all of our needs or not? Okay? There's a lot of Christians who are codependent on some things on earth. When they're saying that their source of their happiness is based on whether or not they can go to their favorite restaurant. Come on. Life's deeper than that. Okay? Whether they can go see a movie or not. Come on. Whether they can have their favorite toilet paper or something. Come on. Let's live in a way that makes heaven shout. I want to tell you, he's available. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through him. Now, that's a very important expression, through him. Because on our own, it does not happen. Whoa, I'm living proof of that. I'm telling you, it's through him. But through him, all things are possible. But look at this. Through him, therefore, let us constantly, you know what constantly means, and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do you see that? And so what is your life message saying? Is your life message saying that Jesus is more than enough? Are you giving expression and praise to the Lord? Because whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if your confession of your life is mumbling and grumbling and complaining, and come on now, you're sharing what's in your heart. But I want to tell you, if the love and the joy and the presence of Jesus is in your heart, it'll show up in your words. It'll come out. Praise and thanksgiving. We glorify his name. Look, your praise and thanksgiving is like your heart rate. How healthy are you? It's like your heart rate. And I want to tell you, this is a reality that's not just available, it's requested, it's required for our journey. Because walking in praise and thanksgiving and in believing and trusting and leaning on the Lord relationship is required to see the world as he sees it. Otherwise, it's all mystery. So, amen, Brother Tim. Good preaching there, Brother Tim. Okay, look, one of the things that's come out in this, and I've been saying to pastors, is that let's be sure that we walk in personal relationship with the Lord where that we have confidence that the Lord is more than enough. Because there's no lack in him. Are you listening? No lack in him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. There's no lack in him. I've been encouraging Christians that, you know, we need to, it's kind of obvious that we're not focusing on God enough. We need to be more influenced by the Word than we are the world. And as I was kind of rehearsing this and enjoying this before the Lord last week, I kind of heard a whisper, and it came like this, that not only should we be more Word influenced, we ought to be Word dominated. Wow, I like that. Are we word people, or are we being influenced and dominated by the world? I'm going to hope to touch on this in just a little bit, but I got to say it here because it fits. You know, Paul and Silas were in the prison because they were doing something right. Not because they were doing something wrong, they were doing something right. And they were in the prison, and this prison was not three hots and a cot, okay, with a flat screen TV. It wasn't that, with air con. No. This was a horrible place to be. And they had been beaten. Now, I don't know. I know we got folk here in tough condition. But I just want to say to you, your condition is not worse than what Paul and Silas were at that time. I don't have time to preach on that, but I'm just saying it to you. But here's what I want to say to you, is that the joy that they had from relationship, can you say relationship? The joy that they had from relationship with their God was greater than the problems that they faced. And brothers, I don't really agree with some sermons, even though it's a right principle, that you praise your way out of prison. I mean, you praise your way out of trouble. There's a lot of power in praise. I preach that. But, you know, they did not praise and worship the Lord in order to get out of prison. I'm telling you, it's relationship. You know, they were praising and loving on the Lord. You know why? Because they loved Jesus. Because they loved the Lord. And I want to tell you, when we spend the majority of our emphasis on letting the Lord love on us, and we're loving on the Lord, if 90% of our journey is love life with the Lord, we would be amazed what all we see happen. Because our perspective is right. We're not being distracted by the problems that the enemy would love to bring up and get us off track. But here's what I want to say to believers. And if you've been following this series, I can say this to you with confidence because you're up with us. But don't wait till you get it all figured out before you practice the kingdom. Don't wait on a pastor to do the ministry that God's equipped you to do. It's very important. Hey, believer, you're a minister. And we're to minister faith. And we're to practice receiving by grace, just like everybody else. And we're to practice by acknowledging and receiving the authority and the power that Jesus passed on to us and enforce the kingdom against the kingdom of darkness. We don't have to put up with it. We can resist it. Because he said, submit to him, which is so important. Submit and receive from him. And resist the enemy, and the enemy will flee. You can put the devil on the run. Okay, so let's not wait till we get it all figured out before we practice it. Don't wait till you're all fixed up before you help others. Sometimes we hear people say, well, the Lord's still working on me. Well, join the club. Hallelujah. He's working on all of us. He's not finished with any of us yet. But you know what? Is as we depend and lean on him, he works mightily through us. Hey, through our weakness, he displays strength. And we're submitting to him, and we resist the enemy, and the enemy flees. And I want to tell you, it's very, very important that we don't wait sometimes we have people say something like, well, I'm too much messed up to even come. Well, you know what that's like saying? I'm too sick to go to the hospital. I'm telling you. I have people sometimes will say to me, well, brother, I really, really need prayer. I said, we got prayer meeting on Tuesday night. Come. Oh, no, I need prayer. I'm not in a position to pray. No. I'm telling you, the best place, if you need prayer, the best place to be is at the Mountain Movers Club. That's what we call it, the Mountain Movers Club. And I want to tell you, it makes a difference when you start praying for other people that are struggling what you're struggling with. It's amazing about the great grace that comes. Wow. Don't you love Jesus? Don't quit. We see believers that touch the Lord, receive from the Lord, and they begin to walk in that liberty and freedom that the Lord paid for. They start experiencing some victory. And then the enemy comes along, you know, to try to steal the word. And he tries to steal the victory. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Don't let him steal your victory. Don't let him pluck out the word. Okay, we got to give allegiance to it. Don't quit. If you don't quit, you're going to win. That's Jesus. Don't yield to double-mindedness. There's so many people that, you know, foot on each side of the fence. Well, I'm a believer on Sunday, praise God. But come along about Tuesday after listening to the media for 2 days. Do you hear what I'm saying? A lot of what, I want to tell you, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And fear comes by hearing the world. Wow, that'll preach. Don't surrender to doubt and unbelief. Because doubt and unbelief will try to test you and steal away the word. You got to continue to stay in that place of rest. We've spoken on that. Submitting to the Lord, believing, continue to resist. you continue to resist, and in the middle of it, practice thanksgiving. You say, well, Brother Tim, it hadn't happened yet. My answer is not here. My victory is not won. You know what? We don't wait till it shows up in the physical. We believe that what God's doing in the spiritual will show up in the physical. But we don't wait till it shows up. This is what believers do. They go ahead and believe when they pray. That's what Jesus said. And you know what? We express thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that it's done, that it's on. And we battle till we win. Let me say it like this. It's not over till we win. I want to encourage you. It's not over till we win. The Lord's not through yet. I was in the... I need to kind of be careful because I'm real confidential, and so I'll just give kind of some general... This was in the greater Houston area. I was preaching a week-long revival in the greater Houston area is the way I need to say that. And while I'm there, about the second day on, the first lady of the church met with me and said, I'm having trouble with my marriage. I said, okay. She said, well, that may shock you. I said, no, it doesn't. I know pastors, you know, they're human. And we can face anything and fight through everything. I understand. I got compassion for pastors. And she said, well, our marriage is in trouble. And she said, I want you to try to help us this week. I'll do what I can. I'll try to help. And so when I met with the pastor, I brought it up and began to visit with him about it. And the first thing he did was begin to give me a bunch of excuses. Oh, he had good ones. I mean, pastors have good ones. Okay? Because we can all point to doing something for the Lord, you know. But I'm telling you, it's excuses. And man, while he's sharing, and the Lord just whispers to me, that's a lie. It's not the physical, it's the inward. And so he paused for a second, and I kind of raised my hand. He said, what? I said, brother, I think the Lord showed me that it's not the excuses. The excuses are not the true. The true is that you've removed your heart. And man, he sat there for a minute, and it got kind of a little colder in the room, to be honest with you. And I'm going to just tell you this. He kind of bowed up. Bowed up, kind of looked like a toad frog sitting across the desk. And he said, let me tell you something, little buddy. He said, no one questions me like that. And I said, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I said, I'm here under your authority. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be a blessing. And I'm here to help you. But let me tell you something. Your wife invited me in to this situation. And according to the Bible, y'all are one. And so if she invited me in, you're in. And I said, I have a responsibility to try to be of a help. I said, but let me just share this with you. Excuses are not real reasons. Excuses are expressions of no to God. Excuses are saying to God what we don't want to do. Here's another one. And I shared this, and it wasn't a big amen after this one. But this is one I shared. I said, you know, excuses are nails in houses of failure. But if we humble ourselves before God and man, I want to tell you, great grace comes. And your answer is not in your schedule. Your answer is in receiving grace. But excuses are tied to pride, and we don't receive grace through pride. We receive grace by humbling ourselves. Okay? Now, it still didn't go over very well, and I just whispered to him because I was talking in a real light voice. And I just asked him this. I said, do you understand that iron sharpeneth iron? That got to him. He said, yeah, that's true. I said, okay. Well, let me just try to be a help to you this week. And he did. Now, his wife responded well early part of the week, but it was the last 2 days of the revival that he responded. And basically, it wasn't because of anything I said, because I didn't have the wisdom to really address it, but I want to tell you what he saw. He saw the goodness of God ministering to his congregation, and it touched his heart. And that doesn't surprise me, because the goodness of God draws us to repentance. Amen? But that's why it's very, very important for us to focus on the goodness of God. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, look at Ephesians 1, verse 18. How am I doing? Oh, I got plenty of time. Y'all hang on. Okay, Ephesians 1, 18. Here's how to receive and to produce good soil for the good seed. Because the good seed, according to Jesus, is the Word of God, is the incorruptible seed. But I want to tell you, we determine what kind of soil the seeds are being put in. You understand? The soil is the heart, Jesus said. And we determine what kind of soil. All right. But here's how to have good soil. By having the eyes of your heart, that soil, flooded with light. Think about the S-O-N, S-U-N. So that you can know and understand the hope. Now, I want to tell you, when you see that expression, know and understand, I'm going to give you a term called revelation. And what I mean by revelation is not new knowledge, but it's knowledge that's made real to you about Jesus, about yourself. Are you with me? Do you understand that? Okay, so that word revelation, so you can know and understand. So you'll have revelation of who you are and what you have in Christ. And it's the hope. Now, the way I describe hope is like, hope is the inside theater of what God says about who you are and who He is and what He wants to do. It's the screen in your heart is the hope. And so we need to see it in here before it happens out here. Does that make sense? Do you see that? It's real simple. But that's where hope comes from, and that comes from relationship. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Himself will give you hope. He'll minister hope to you. He'll give you the picture of who He is, of who you are in Him, and what He wants to do. And that's our hope, the hope to which He's called you. And how rich, do you see the word rich, is His glorious inheritance in the saints. And so I'm telling you, even though we don't know what all He's paid for, we're learning. But I'm telling you, the Bible says it's a rich inheritance for all of us that He's won for us. We're joint heirs with Him. It's very powerful. Verse 19, and so that you can know and understand, now you already know what I'm going to say, it's revelation of who you are and what you have. What is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of His power in us and for us. Now let me just back up a little bit. And I want you to repeat after me because this is very, very important that you personalize. Let the Holy Spirit personalize this to you. Say with me, His power in and for us who believe. Now, I actually have had a brother that I was helping that looked me straight in the eye and said, I don't believe that. And I said, well, okay, that's not a test of fellowship for me. I love you. I'll try to help you, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. All right. Okay, I'm the only one laughing, but it touched me. Okay. As demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. Now, this is what it's talking about. It's talking about what that power in us and through us is the same resurrection power of Jesus. Wow. Would you by faith, I'm not asking by feeling, would you by faith just hug that? Resurrection power in us and through us. Resurrection power. You say, Brother Tim, you sure? Yeah, look at verse 20. Which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand. Remember me talking about the throne room? He's sitting in the throne room. It's the place of victory, of overcoming. Our victory, our overcoming. At His own right hand in the heavenly places. Is that powerful? Resurrection power. I'm looking around this room, and believers, I want to tell you there's a lot of power in this room. There's enough power in this room to shake the world. Amen. Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose. Now this is important. That this is your goal and this is your focus. That I may know Him. Well, Brother Tim, I've been to church for all these years and I've grown. No. This is not something you ever outgrow. This is not something you ever outmature. This has got to be our continued goal and determined purpose. Our center is that we may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Are you seeing this? Somebody say relationship. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding. You know what I'm going to say? Revelation. And by the way, that doesn't come from man. That's the Lord that shows that to you. But our heart, the eyes of our heart need to be open to see Him. I'm telling you, it's Him. You see Him. Anytime you see Him, I want to tell you, there's change taking place when you see the Lord. That's why we try to teach people, when you look in the Word, don't look at the facts. Look for Him. See God in the Word. Focus on God in the Word, who He is. And this is what this is saying. An understanding of who He is. The one, get to know Him better and better and better, deeper and deeper and wider, are you with me? Get to know Him better. The wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, that I may in that same way, now we all need to say same way.
Same way.
Same way. That's what it means. In the same way, now get this, the same way that we get to know Him better is the same way that we receive the power of the resurrection in our life. Same way. You say, Brother Tim, no, it's a completely set of spiritual aerobics. Some people would like you to know, think that. It's a whole lot different bunch of not. No, a lot of people would like to think that. But no, it's the same way. The same way you received Christ Jesus as the Lord by grace through faith is the same way you walk with the Lord by grace through faith. Man. This so excites me that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers. There's a power source within us, which is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. There ought to be a shout in the house. Knowing Him and receiving from Him is the same channel, and this is how we receive resurrection power. Look at this. That I may so share His sufferings. Now I want to put a picture word in there, and it's victorious sufferings. Because in these sufferings, we are our focus and our determination is to get to know Him better through these sufferings. I remember Paul Bilheimer wrote a book, and one of the things, well, a number of books, one of them was Don't Waste Your Sufferings. And the bottom line of the book was, you gain Christ. You gain Christ through Him. You put your focus on Him. You practice relationship, getting to know Him. And through the fellowship with Him, through your sufferings, the Lord rewards you. He manifests Himself to you in special ways because He's Jesus and He loves you. And you can't out-honor Him. Nikki, you can't out-honor Him. You can't out-honor Him. You can't out-bless Him. He loves you back all the more. And there's a sweetness in that. That's hard to explain to somebody that hasn't been through it. But I'm telling you, it's so powerful that you get addicted to the manifestation of Jesus in you and through you when you go through stuff. Because you're not esteeming the stuff, you're esteeming Him. When you esteem Him, you disesteem the suffering. And I want to tell you, you're changed. Because every time you see Him, you're changed. You're transformed. And transformation takes place. You see that in that verse. But God has put resurrection power in you. Let's believe it. Let's speak it. Because there's Bible principle, New Testament, Old Testament. We believe, so we speak. And Jesus said, when you speak to the lion fig tree, and you speak to the mountain that's a problem, okay, He didn't say, beg God about the mountain. Beg God about the lion fig tree. No, He said, you speak to the mountain. And you believe in faith. This is what, you're expressing the will and the desire and the Word of God. And He says, the mountain will flee. The fig tree will die. He changes us inside out. But He's put that resurrection power in us. Let's believe it. Let's speak it. Most believers, and I'm going to tell you this, most believers will say, well, I know God can, but I just don't know if He will. Well, let me say it to you like this. We need to come to know and understand. That's revelation. You need personal revelation that no man can give you. Jesus gives you. The Holy Spirit shows you, Jesus, that this promise is for you with your name on it. Now that's something only the Lord can do for you. A pastor can't give that to you. But the Lord wants you to know this, because not only can He do it, He wills to do it. It's His will, and it's His want to. It's His desire for you. And so our joy is to learn how to practice receiving and releasing, but also how to practice taking that authority and power that He's given us and using it for His honor and glory. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. You've never heard me say it was easy. And in the process, a lot of self has to die and be dealt with. Because there's no room for self in the kingdom. It's not easy, but I'm telling you this, it's simple. And we need to learn. And we need to be lifetime learners, but we need to train ourselves to appropriate the power of God. Holy Spirit will show us. It's a learning journey. I don't walk perfectly in this. You know I don't. I'm real open with you. I don't. But I'll tell you what, and I'm being honest about this. I scored more first downs and touchdowns in the third quarter of my life than I did in all the first half. And I know that now I'm probably entering the fourth quarter of my journey. But I'm telling you how good God is, and what I believe and what I'm standing on is that my fourth quarter will be more productive, more first downs and touchdowns than the past three quarters, that my latter reign will be greater than the former. So, here we go. You've heard this. Renew your mind. That it won't happen without renewing your mind. You've got to reprogram the computer, and it only comes through the Word of God. That's why we try to get people to just absolutely saturate in the Word of God. That affects your thoughts. Faith cometh by hearing. And if you're not hearing, faith's not sparked. And a lot of people listen to different pastors and stuff. That's all good. There's great ones out there. And powerful. But I want to tell you, it needs to be full of the Word of God. Okay? We're not talking about life coaching. We're talking about Word of God. Speak it. This is what this season has been. We got to speak it. We got to release power and authority through our words. And the third one about this part of the series is put action to it. You got to get out of the salt shaker. And you got to act it out. And I don't mean act it out by pretending. I'm just saying live it out. And don't wait until you understand it all. Don't wait till you feel qualified. I'm telling you, if you're waiting on that, it'll never happen. I'm telling you, I've grown a lot where my confidence is in the Lord and not in me. You can't look like this and get in front of crowds and have confidence in yourself. It's as far away from confidence as yourself as can be. It's not confidence in self in any way. Matter of fact, we surrender that to the cross. You know what it is? It's confidence in Christ. You know, a lot of people say, well, I haven't arrived. Well, what are we waiting on? If you wait till till you feel qualified, the enemy will make sure you never feel qualified. It's by faith, not by feeling. Quit waiting on a chill bump. And let's do what the Word says. I think heaven would rather see cold-blooded obedience than emotional practice. Well, I'm kind of leaning into my next series. I'll try not to go there. Well, and kind of the final thing is people say, well, I haven't arrived. Well, what are you waiting on? Don't wait till heaven. There's no lost people there. Boy, that's revelation, isn't it? I just thought that kind of sounded funny. Huh? There's no lost people there. There's no defeated devil there. There's no sick there. There's no poverty there. There's no mental and emotional disease there. That's a lot of what I deal with on a weekly basis is believers that are suffering from emotional or mental disease of some part. And I got a lot of compassion for that. But I want to tell you, the answer is still the same. I had one pastor tell me, well, my son is not from depression, but he had a head injury, and from that, I said, it don't matter what gate the enemy tries to enter. The answer is still the same. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Lord Jesus came to give us life and to give us abundant life overflowing. And so the answer is still Jesus, and it's still the same. And the approach is the same, where we get in the Word of God and renew our mind, and we start saying yes on the inside, expressing our faith to what He paid for. Amen? So practice receiving. Let's go, guys. What are we waiting on? Jesus said, now therefore you go. Advance the kingdom, practice receiving by grace and enforcing His resurrection authority and power. It's our badge. His resurrection was our badge that He's given. He's provided the Holy Spirit in us. 2 Timothy 1:7 is there? Yes, it is. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. And so let me tell you who the spirit of timidity is. The spirit of fear is the enemy. He didn't give us that. That's the spirit of the enemy. That's the spirit of fear. But what He did give us was Holy Spirit. And it's a spirit of power. We know, we've talked about that. And of love. And of a calm, well-balanced mind. And discipline and self-control. Now, part of the thing about emotional and mental diseases is that you're not in control. I'm just trying to say there's an answer here, and His name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit heals. He will show us how to be free, because Jesus paid the price for our freedom. And if you're not in control, then who is? I'm telling you, there's a question there. Let's love each other enough to ask the right questions. That's what I told that pastor. I love you enough to ask the right questions. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. So He's provided His Holy Spirit. And let's look at John 15:9 right quick. Wow, I got to wrap this up. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Now, I want to just stop there, and that's all I'll probably be able to cover here. But would you catch this? Jesus loves you with the same love that Father loved Him with. Now, wait. Time out. How much did Father love Jesus? How much did Father love on Jesus? Jesus is saying that same love that He loved me with, I'm loving you with. And He said, it's to your well-being in your soul to have a prosperous soul for you to abide in my love. I want to tell you, it's healthy to be still before the Lord and put your mind on Him, and He'll give you perfect peace. He will minister His love to you. How long has it been since you've been still, been quiet enough, still enough, long enough, and let the Lord love on you? Because abiding in that amazing, overwhelming love, I'm saying to you, He doesn't love the Apostle Paul more than He loves you. He doesn't love Peter more than He loves you. He loves you with the same love Father loved Him with. Now, I want to tell you that His love will chase away all manifestations of fear. The Bible says chase it out the door. And so what do? We practice it. We abide in it. We practice it. The last one is peace. You know power. We've talked about power today. He's given us His love life in us. He's given us His resurrection, victorious power. And the last one is peace. John 14:27, let me just point at it. He said, peace I leave with you. And He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Hey, look at what the Amplified brings out. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, in case any of you brothers that I've ministered to this last week, if you think I'm picking on you, this sermon was done probably 6 weeks ago. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the victory of the Lord and what the Lord can do and what the Lord wants to do. But this is what His peace looks like. And we're to enjoy His presence. Well, I'm going to stop here, and let me just wrap this up by saying this, that we're His bride. And the church, the body of Christ is His bride. We're the bride of Jesus. He's not chosen a bride to be pathetic. He's chosen a bride to be powerful. Hey, I know, because I talk to him, a lot of believers, depressed and oppressed. But you know what? He's given us his joy. He's given us his peace. And I want to tell you, it's tied to his words. It's tied to receiving and enjoying his presence. And you can be blessed. I know that the world is stressed. But, you know, there ought to be a difference between the world being stressed and a believer's position. If they're really believing. All right? Because we have peace and we have joy and we have his love. And I want to tell you, stress to the max is the way it would be described out there. Stress to the max. Well, you know, according to Jesus, don't be anxious. You don't have to be. Do not let your heart be troubled. If he said, don't let your heart be troubled, it means there's a choice in there. Okay? And we can receive from him. Now, hey, we got compassion getting there because we all get there sometimes. But what I'm saying is, don't live there. What does your life message say? Does your life message say that Jesus is more than enough? There ought to be a difference between the way the world responding and the way that we're responding. I want to tell you, when you focus on him and you practice enjoying him and receiving from him, something like this will come out of your mouth. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I am too blessed to be stressed. Because you can't be stressed and blessed at the same time. What channel are we on? I'm highly favored. I'm deeply loved. And I just want to announce something. I don't have time to go there. Maybe I will next week. But I got to say this because there's sometimes a lot of emphasis on it's based on our obedience. I want to tell you, obedience is important. I've never belittled obedience. I don't belittle sin, and I don't belittle obedience. But what I do highlight is his obedience. Because, and I'll share with you next week, but Scripture says that we operate by his obedience. Hey, it's by his obedience, not ours. It's by his report card, not ours. Your report card would disqualify you. My report card would disqualify me. But we're here based on his obedience, based on his sacrifice, based on his victory. And it's by grace we freely receive. Does that sound too good to be true? Well, it really is. It's the gospel. It's Jesus. Amen? And this is for you and for you to receive. And so I'm praying for you right now. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes and for the real reason, just to focus on Jesus. But would you practice right now by faith saying yes for the victory that Jesus paid for? Because when he died on the cross, he paid the price for your sins. And he paid the price by his blood for us to have freedom. He paid for our freedom. Freedom from the power of sin in our life and freedom from the punishment of sin in our life. And I want to tell you, it's what he paid for. And our part is to receive it. And so right now, whatever area is troubling you or disturbing you, would you just lift that up to the Lord right now? And would you just present that to Jesus? Because according to the finished works of the cross, and Isaiah 53 says this, he took our sins upon himself. He took our weaknesses upon himself. And would you just leave that at the feet of the Lord? Would you lay it down at the throne, the feet of Jesus? Because he's our victory. This is part of just submitting to him and receiving by grace. I want to tell you, the Lord is for you. He will restore you. He will renew you. He will refresh you. I want to tell you the power of restoration is that when he restores you, it's better than it was before. That's the power of the Lord. And this is what he wants to do. Would you just say yes to him right now this morning in the name of Jesus and let Jesus be the Lord of your situation? Just invite him. Surrender it and invite him. Submit to God. And we're going to resist the enemy. And we want to see the enemy flee, don't we? Well, Lord Jesus, we just surrender to you right now. Thank you that we can lay these things at your feet. You told us to bring our troubles to you, our burdens to you, and that you would take them, that you would give us your rest, that you would give us your rescue, that you would give us restoration. And so, Lord, we just surrender these things to you right now, and we thank you that by the blood of Jesus, that they're covered. That these miseries of sin are not to have any authority over us, that you paid for our freedom. And so, Lord, based on your word and the finished works of the cross, we renounce this junk in our life. We renounce these lies, these lying fig trees. We renounce these mountains. And we tell them in the name of Jesus to go. To be gone right now in the name of Jesus. We choose life. And we resist and we renounce the thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we receive the abundant, overwhelming freedom, life that Jesus brings right now. We say yes to you. And we receive by faith, and we agree together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.